listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the light.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries. Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Good morning. Good Saturday morning. Wake up. Hey, it's Landon coming at you live from the studio at Lifeline Radio Broadcast. I'm going to right off the bat, let me give you some phone numbers to get in touch with us today here in the studio, because we're going to talk from the book of James. We're going to go to the very beginning when James talks about, listen, I'm going to change the whole way you've been thinking. I'm going to change the whole motive of your life. When you fall, when you've messed up and you fell into temptation, count that all joy. And then he tells us why. Now that's totally backwards. When we fall, we just want to stay in the pity party, call everybody and tell them what we did, ask them to pray for us. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. This is really good stuff. We need to know this. This will get you out of the ditch. You don't have to stay in the ditch. You know what I mean? But let me give you numbers now, because while we do this broadcast, I've got a feeling this is going to apply to many of us, including myself. Listen, I'm not above any of this stuff I teach you. I learn all this through my own trials and errors. I wish I was the perfect angel saint, but I tell you what, but in my trials and errors, when I get taught from the Lord, unreal, you know? So anyway, 221-1100. If while I'm teaching today, you're like, that's me, Landon. I've been in the ditch too long. I've been down too long. I made a mistake, and the devil has ridden my back ever since. The condemnation, the guilt, the everything, all my brothers and sisters I thought would stand behind me are now accusing me. And they're telling everybody in church and everybody at work whatever I did, and I just can't get out of it. Well, today is your chance to call up here, and when I explain this teaching by James, Jesus' brother, let me say that. If anybody should understand how this stuff works that Jesus is trying to teach us, I would think his oldest brother would have a pretty good concept. So that's what made me go here with James this week. So while I'm teaching this morning, if you need freedom in Christ, if you're tired of being bound, tired of that yoke of bondage, if that 100,000-pound brick is still on your back, write these numbers down real quick, because you're going to have a chance to call up here. I don't care if you do it now. You can call whenever you're ready. Well, I'm here to let Christ make you free, to regenerate you and make you a new person in Christ through this word. Okay, so at any time you want to come or call and take advantage of that, do so. You need prayer, you call here. We're here to help you. That's what this whole thing's about. That's why it's called Lifeline. All right, we're going to throw the Lifeline out there. Now, if you want to grab it, and have a new life, and have a fresh start, and invite Christ back in your life, or invite him for the first time, that's your responsibility. And I suggest you take that responsibility. Life is so much better with Christ guiding your steps than it is by you making your own decisions. Always remember that. 221-1100, local number, 221-1100. Out of town is 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. Online, WCNO.com. That's WCNO.com. Bam! There we are. I think we're still on demand, too. So if you miss it, WCNO.com, just click on demand. But right now, WCNO.com, mic comes up, click on live broadcast, and do it. You can call people all around the globe and say, hey, man, listen to this real quick. This is the guy that I've been talking about. This is the teaching I've been wanting to do, or whatever the case is, okay? All right. Let's ask God to lead us and guide us. Now, listen, at the end of the broadcast, I'm going to save a few minutes. I'll give those same phone numbers. I'll give you the emails so you can get in touch with us personally. I'll give you a P.O. box where you can sow into this ministry, okay? All right. Father, we need you this morning. No matter where you are, just go there. Enter in. Mentally let your mind go into, I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to pray with Landon right now. Father, we need you this morning bad. We need you every morning bad. We need you every second bad. Whether we realize it or not, we live in a natural world with a natural realm, and the principalities and powers thereof just want to consume us and want to come chase us down. So help us now this morning. Praise God for somebody actually breaking the yoke of bondage and calling in already. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We need you. Control my mouth this morning. Control my mind and my heart that I may speak what you would have me say. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Thank you for calling Lifeline.
Yes, I would like prayer.
Amen. Prayer for what?
Prayer for a broken heart.
Beautiful, beautiful. What's your name, please? At least first name.
My name is Debbie.
Debbie? Okay. You got it. That's a very simple request. I love that, because God is the repairer of the breach, and he sure heals the brokenhearted, is what the word says. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
So you are a Christian. You do believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, I have to ask. I don't know what kind of situation I'm praying for or where your heart is, you know?
Yeah, I've been calling out to him and calling out to him mm-hmm. to heal my broken heart for... I just don't know how to call out to him anymore.
Okay. I just want to say, because for some reason I feel like I'm hearing this in my spirit, and don't take it personal. It's just what I'm hearing. Fall more in love with him. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more the love from heaven, the manna from heaven, can come down and begin to wash you and cleanse you and take healing of that broken heart. Okay? So we're going to pray for that broken heart for sure. Okay?
Tell me how to fall more in love with him. I've been trying to.
You've got to yearn, pant, and thirst for his word. And I would recommend, don't go to the Old Testament, because there's a lot of historical facts. It won't cater to your heart as well, but Psalms would be phenomenal. The psalmist goes through so many trials and so many things, and there's so many situations where their hearts were broken, and they're crying out to God to give them fresh meat. I just pant for your word, Lord. I thirst for your word. When you get in the Psalms, I think it'll guide you into that heart motive of really craving God. And that'll get you, because here's the deal. You have to put in now the word richly. When you get into a situation, you've got to overcome it by flooding yourself inside yourself with the word, so the word can come in and begin to work a new manifestation in your life. Okay?
Okay.
It's all in that word. And I really suggest the book of Psalms. Get in there. Let the Spirit guide you. Just go psalm after psalm. Psalms 1 is phenomenal. That's a great place to start. Lord, we're going to pray for Debbie right now. Okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Father God, we've got someone calling with a broken heart. And you are the one. You're the one that gives the heart transplants, Lord. You'll take out that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. You'll heal. In Psalms, which she will find, it says that you heal the brokenhearted. And it says you draw near to those with a broken spirit or a contrite heart. So this is a perfect situation for her to call it. If anybody can come mend the heart and sew it full of love again, it's definitely you, Lord. It's definitely you. We thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. Speak to her through your word. As she reads that word, open her eyes and expound things and let the love of God dwell in her richly and fall upon her richly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Listen, I want you to stay between Psalms and the book of John. Trust me, stay between Psalms and the book of John and feed that word. Eat that word as much as you can until it begins to change everything. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for calling. Okay, bye-bye. Wonderful, wonderful. That's beautiful, man. That's what we're here for. The Lord wants to help you, and we want to let him do it, okay? Excuse me 1 second. It is live. Sometimes I got to clear my throat. You ready? Let's talk about James. Who was he? Let's talk about James this morning. First of all, who was James? Honestly, who was James? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. James is that book in the Bible right after Hebrews. That's who James was. Wasn't he Jesus' brother or something like that? I mean, people say that. Wasn't he Jesus' brother or something like that? James was the oldest half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this certainly opens our eyes to a new truth, because we always just think that Mary was a virgin. She had the Holy Spirit came down, put the seed in her. She had Jesus. And that's all. That's as far as we go with Mary, really. Unless you're Catholic, then it takes a little different turn for you. Okay, not only the mother of Jesus, but James being his oldest half-brother, then we got to think, okay, well, this certainly opens our eyes to some truth. Now, Mary had other children besides Jesus. We never even think about that, you know? But they were all considered half-brothers. Evidence proved that Joseph was their father. Evidence proved that God was Jesus's father. The seed of Jesus came from God Almighty. The seed of the rest of the offspring came from Joseph. So evidence proves that God was Jesus' father, not Joseph. Now, Mary was the only woman to become pregnant while still a virgin. Think about these facts I just gave you. This is mind-blowing stuff. God supplied the seed for there to be a natural birth through a supernatural conception. Mind-blowing stuff. But we still wonder, was Jesus really the ransom for my sin? I mean, this is mind-blowing. This is impossible against all impossibles except God would have done it. And there's evidence and proofs and facts and documents, letters written to the churches that prove this stuff. But we still wonder, man, is Jesus really the answer? Is he the ransom for my sin to make me 100% acceptable unto God? Is he really that person? Now, James, think about this again. This is some mind-blowing stuff. Pay close attention. James, his oldest brother now, after witnessing Christ's appearance following his resurrection. In other words, Christ went to the tomb and was pronounced a dead man. Not only that, people watched him get flogged and beaten and martyred. They watched him get killed. They watched him get crucified. This guy's done, man. This guy's toast. 3 days later, he rose from that grave. James witnessed this. The man that was raised with him, that knew him as a child, every day saw him. He now witnessed this appearance following Jesus resurrecting from the dead. If that's not mind-blowing, you know, one resurrects from the dead, and yet we wonder, man, can this guy help me or not? Think about that for a minute. Being among those assembled together following Jesus' ascension too. So James witnessed Christ's appearance following his resurrection. Then he was among those who were assembled together following Jesus' ascension when he rose up to the Father and told him, hey, look, it's better for you guys that I go away, because if I don't leave and go up to the Father's right hand, I cannot send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, same person. We use different names, we get called on that. I cannot send the Holy Spirit. I cannot send the Holy Ghost to you. But if I leave and I depart from here and I go hence to the Father and I'm at the Father's right hand, I will send the Comforter and he will be with you. And it says in Scripture, the Comforter, comma, which is the Holy Ghost. He spells it out clear so we don't have to wonder what this Comforter is or who this Comforter is. He says, I'll send him. He'll dwell with you. He'll be with you. He'll minister to you. He'll witness to you. He'll open your eyes. He'll train you, teach you. He'll show you the ways of God based on my hand. I'll be at the right hand of the Father and I'll be ministering to you through the Holy Spirit. He goes, you guys got to get that. I know you're really cleaved to me. You're clung to me. You don't want to leave my side because you've seen the miracles. You've witnessed so many things. I am the one. He goes, but if I leave here, it's much greater for you. So he told these guys, now James was there, right? James was there, assembled together, following Jesus' ascension for the purpose of waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He is now the leader of the believers in Jerusalem. They're going through some serious, heavy persecution. So he's now guiding these new evangelical converts on what faith should produce in them. He's trying to give them instructions. This is how faith works. This is how Jesus, or this is how the ministering spirit works now. So check this out. The first thing he starts in his book, that he could have started with anything, but natural man in and of ourselves are subject to sin. Let's get real. We like to walk on the holier than thou cloud. We like to walk with the head high. I am the utmost Christian. I go to such and such church. You know, I'm a member over here at such and such church. We're the biggest church in town. Been there so many years. Our pastor's been there 12 years. I've been serving on the board there 10 years. James said, listen, man, let's get real with each other. James said, my brethren. See, he's not talking to the heathen. He didn't say, hey, man, you who deny Christ, you who are anti-Christ, you could give a less about Christ. He goes, no, my own brethren, those who are dear to me, those who I love, those who I consider kindred or those who I care much about, count it all joy. Now pay attention, count every single bit of this thing joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, don't count it joy when you think about it and don't do it. That's very joyful, by the way. That's a big victory. But he says, when you fall, you totally messed up. You turned your back on the Lord. The thought came, you entertained it long enough and tantalized it long enough until it took you down. Now you, as the brother or sister of Christ, have fallen in the snare and the trap of the lust of the flesh, and you're in temptation. You find yourself in it now. You're not just thinking about it. You're taking a part of it. He said, man, you better count that joy. Why? He says, know this fact, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What is he saying? He's saying, brother and sister who are followers of Jesus Christ, when you mess up, When you fall into all kinds of different temptations, count that joy because you have accepted Christ, because you are the brother or the sister of Christ. You have a Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. I know this man. I was raised by this man. I am the oldest sibling under him. I understand this stuff. I watched it. He taught me. Everything he said came to pass when I watched him rise. He goes, listen, you count this joy. You be delightful and you have fullness when you fall into all kinds of various experiences of evil. This is what that word temptation means in the Greek. It's experiences of evil or adversity. You're telling me, Landon, when I fall slap into evil or adversity, I'm to count that a delight or a fullness? Yes, because you who have accepted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. The Comforter did come, like Jesus said. When he ascended, he said, I'll send him. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. He'll be in you. Every time you have fell, you've always heard that voice telling you, don't go there. Don't do that. But your mind overpowered your spirit, and you found yourself caught in the temptation. He says, count this joy because you know you heard the Spirit tell you not to. You know you were guided. You know you were led. You know you failed miserably, but now you know you still belong to Jesus. Just because you're there because your flesh is weak, because your mind is weak, and because lust is very strong in this world. Rather it be for a steak, rather it be for another person, rather it be for drugs, rather it be for alcohol, rather it be whatever it be, we lust and the lust consumes our thoughts. We get lustful for things and we have to have them. We have to have them. I got to have another rib, man. I got to go there every Tuesday night. They give a full rack. I'm going. I can't. Oh, it's Tuesday night. It's rib night. Drives me crazy if I don't go. I got to have them. We get lustful. We are passionate people. Our senses are very strong. James says, listen, when you get there, here's what happens. When you get caught in that thing and you're down in that sin and you've fallen, the devil is always waiting for the opportunity to destroy you. That's what I taught about the last time I was on the air. The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. So the minute you go there, and stop making his job so easy. He doesn't have to do it. The devil kicks back. You fall into lust because it's your human nature. Now you find yourself there and here he comes. Oh, hey, he did it. Come on, let's go get him, boys. Bam. Here comes the devil. He's all over your back. The weight of sin is heavy. Now he's on you. He's telling you, oh, man, look at you. Look at you. You don't love God. If you love God, you've never done this. You act like you love God. You're such a hypocrite. He calls all these things come in through your ear gate or through your mind. He's whispering stuff to you the whole time you're down, and you can't find the way up. You think you're a million miles from Jesus, which is a lie. James said, no, man. You know better, but you did it anyway. Now you've got experience, but count it joy because Christ is still faithful to reach down and redeem you. All you have to do is shout out his name. Jesus, help me. I'm in this thing. I need out. Lord, I screwed up. Help me. Keep the devil off my back. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, come take my hand and lead me out of this, please. I need your help. I need it bad. The minute your mouth says those words and your heart means what you say, bam, you are delivered. Christ is there. Then he says, listen, he says, knowing this, that by that trial of your faith, it now worketh patience. Next time, you probably won't be so quick to make that same mistake. He'll come and you'll be like, no, I'm going to be patient. Wait on the Lord. I'm not going to do this. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I feel that same pulling coming. I feel that same tug coming. I don't want to come down that road. I'm going to sit here and bake with you. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. And the Lord will fill you. The Spirit will fill you. The joy, the peace, the comfort, all the things he's supposed to do will start kicking in. Now you can overcome this thing. It works patience in your life. What is that? What is patience? Endurance or constancy? You'll now learn to endure these things, and you'll now be constant and stop making those mistakes, but really be a soldier for Christ and be a constant person walking in the will of God. I want you to call here now if you need this, if you fell into sin, if you've had some troubles, and you know that you definitely were a Christian, but your lust took you down, your mind took you down, things took you down. The devil's here to trip you, trap you, and your own heart and your own flesh is super lustful to start with anyway, so it's very easy to mess up. Let's not fool ourselves. You're not holier than thou. It's easy, but it's also easy to get help from the Lord. James said, you got to know this, man, because it's a different way of thinking. Call here now, 221-1100. God's going to save you now. God's going to rescue you from this junk now, but you got to get it off of you. You got to pick the phone up and call and say, I want out of it. I'm done with it. Help me, pray for me. Ask the Spirit to come comfort me. He's called the Comforter. Use him. 221-1100. 221-1100. 888-221-8990. The way of thinking has been, when I get down and I get beaten and I get downtrodden, now I'm sad, I'm depressed. I'm calling everybody, pray for me, man. I can't believe I did this. I'm talking to the dog. I'm talking to the tree. I'm walking around the house talking to myself. I'm preaching negativity to myself. What kind of man am I? How could I have done that? Why did I think that way? James says, brother, let me teach you how to turn your mindset around so you can call on the Spirit and get help. Count joy that Jesus hadn't given up on you. Good morning, Lifeline. This is Landon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am wonderful. How about you? What can I pray for you for?
I'm better now.
Good. Talk to me.
Just, I have this thing where I will be with the Word and I will be with the Lord and everything is great. And then all of a sudden I start to grow cold and I don't pray and then I don't read the Bible. And then, and then my life is a mess. And then I search for Him again and then I'm with Him again. And I just keep going back and forth. I just want to stay and I get out.
Do you have a job?
Yes.
Do you work your job every day?
Yes.
Do you go to work every day or are you one of them people that call in all the time?
No, I do go to work every day.
You're faithful. You get up and go there regardless of how you feel, regardless if you want to or not. You just do it, right?
Yes.
It's the same with that word. And you said it yourself. You said, Landon, I'm there, man, I'm there. And then I stop praying so much. And then I put the word down. I slip right off. I don't care who you are. If you're the most powerful preacher in this town or any other town, the day you put that word down and decide I've got enough word in me, I can just walk this for a while, it's a bad mistake. So just like going to work every day, I don't want to go to work every day. I do it. I don't think about it. I don't start to second guess it. I just do it. You got to have the same attitude with that word. If that word does not dwell in you richly and daily, here comes the snares of life to trip you up. And that's all it is. So you got to look at this Bible just like your job. Don't sit in the morning and go, I don't have time. Don't start weighing it. Just grab it and do it. Just grab it. I don't care if it's one chapter in John or one chapter in Proverbs. You've got to freshly drink the milk from the word for it to be in you to come up out of you when things come at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
It's just not a choice. It's just like going to work, man. It is not a choice. You just got to do it. Like that old Mountain Dew thing. Just do it. You got to do it.
It's exactly what you said. Like, I'll feel full of it. I feel like I can carry it on my own. And then I start to get empty, and I don't even realize how long it's been since I read it.
Listen, you, me, and everybody else on this planet, to be honest with you, okay? We all go through this, but you got to do it. There are weeks when I'll go a couple days. I'll get busy and whatever. Man, I get so fleshful. Anger comes up in me and all them old attitudes that I used to have. You know what I mean? I have to stop and get in the Word and get on my knees. And it's always best for me when I stay there daily. But let me pray that God will increase your hunger. How's that?
Thank you. That would be great. I appreciate it.
You're
that.
So welcome. Who is this, please?
This is Vanessa.
Vanessa. Father God, Vanessa has understanding. And she's just like everybody else. This is no different than anybody else listening to this program. We all fall short of the glory of God because the glory of God is right here in the Word. And we set it down and we rest it and we get busy because life is busy. It's meant to consume us. It's meant to be busy. But Lord, we got to realize that if we seek first the kingdom of God, this is the most important verse, Vanessa, listen up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the opposite, Lord, would be if you stop seeking me through my word daily in the kingdom of God, all these things will start to disappear from you. And then all the attitudes and the frustration and the oh my gosh, I got to handle this, that's what starts to set in. So Lord, increase all of our hungers, her and everybody else. Give us the desire. Give us the passion for you. Let us yearn for you. Let us drink the milk of that word until we start to dwell with you richly and we just can't get satisfied without it. Create a hunger on her tongue that she must have this word daily. In Jesus' name we pray this today. Amen. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Very important. Okay, listen, I love you. Thanks for calling. Hey, I'm going to give a Gmail at the end so you can contact us through the Gmail and I'll be glad to kind of walk with you, okay?
That'd be great. I appreciate what you do. Thank you so much.
Oh, man. Thanks a million. All right. Bye. Oh, Lord, that's great. Do we have another call? We have one more? I'm going to take one more call, and then I'm going to have to get the sign-off letters, okay? But I want you guys to get this, man. Get in James and read that first chapter and bake there until you see what he means. The next thing he says is if you're not getting what I'm telling you and you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll show you what this word's saying. That's what James says next. Good morning, WCNO Lifeline.
Hi. This is Linda. I live in Stewart. I'm calling for prayer for my children
uh-huh. and my grandchildren.
Awesome.
They gave their heart to the Lord as young people.
Uh-huh.
Now they're all professionals, but they're straying away, and I just keep, they're not listening to me.
Right. Okay. It's hard. A prophet is hard to get honor in your own home. So I'm going to pray that God will send someone else along their path. God will send a word through somebody. Somebody will look them in the eye and say something that will trigger something they've heard in church before or something they thought in their spirit before. And they'll go, oh my gosh, you're right. I'm going to pray that God will get their attention. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is awesome. Hey, Father God, we come to you. This is Landon and Linda. We're praying for her family. She's got brothers, sisters, siblings, all of her family. Knew you. They've all gone to church as young people. It's easy to get caught up in the world as we get older and we get busy, Lord. Send someone through their path. Call them back home, Lord. Send somebody with that word of encouragement. Let somebody look them in the eye and say something that triggers something that's been buried on the inside in their heart for years that they heard as a child, and it starts to work and it starts to manifest and it starts to call them home and it starts to get them to want to pick up their Bible. Just create that hunger where they want to thirst for you and pant for you, Lord. That's what's missing in our whole world today. Please create a hunger, not only in Linda's family, but I ask everybody that took the time to turn on the radio this morning and listen to this broadcast and thought, let me tune in. I might get something. Give them something, Lord. They're hungry. People are wanting you. They're craving you. They don't know how to go about it. Send somebody by. Let the radio say the magic thing. Let the guy on TV say the right thing. Let someone at the workplace walk up and just say the right thing that triggers that spirit back inside and lets them know, oh, my gosh. What's the odds of that? God's trying to get my attention. God's calling my name. He hasn't forgot me yet, nor has he forsaken me. So call us back. Draw us back. We yearn for you. We hunger for you. Linda, that's awesome what you're doing. God's very proud that you would call and you would intercede for your family. I want you to know that. I'm hearing that right now. He's very happy with the fact that you care enough to intercede for them and also wants to say this. You don't stop interceding for them. The prayer of a faithful person availeth much. So you keep praying to him. He hears your prayers over them. If you keep praying and you do this daily, he will send the right people. He will work the right avenues because you're releasing the Spirit daily over them through intercessory prayer. Thank you, Jesus, so much for that word. Thank you, Father, for being with us today. Linda, I love you. Thank you so much. I'm going to give a Gmail here in a minute. Write it down. You can get in touch with us through Gmail, and we will help you walk this walk, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Oh, man. Thanks a million for calling. All right. You too. Bye. All right, guys. I got to sign off in a minute. I'm going to have to make the James teaching pretty short. But let me say this. When you get down into reading this James, and he talks about faith, he talks about patience, but let patience have her perfect work, you know, knowing this, the trying of your faith. Faith is that assurance that Jesus is really there. That's what faith is. It's assurance in Christ. And patience is the endurance or being constant in your walk. Who was it? Vanessa or somebody that called a minute ago? The thing about the word. I put down the word and I just drift off. And you got to be constant. Have your word daily. Your word should be more important than your breakfast cereal, your oatmeal, your whatever, your fish oil. The word needs to come first. Pay attention. I got to roll through a lot of call letters real quick. You already know the WCNO.com online, anytime. You can click on demand and have us there too. But Bob Allen Ministry, no, I'm sorry. Scratch that, I messed up. We changed it to make it easy. TryLifeline@gmail.com. How's that? We changed it a long time ago. I just had a flashback. TryLifeline@gmail.com. Man, we will walk this with you. By doing that, you give us the chance to serve you and you give us the chance to pray on your behalf and to seek God's counsel and to really walk this with you. It lets us both stay in the kingdom together. So don't be afraid to contact us, all right? TryLifeline@gmail.com. I need finances. I'll be real blunt. We pay for this out of our pocket. We're needing help. We need people to sow. We need money to come into this P.O. box. Lord, I ask that you touch hearts to sow into this ministry. I actually do need it. I got some car repairs that need done. It's got me tight. I need money to come in to keep this thing on the air. Try Lifeline, 1603 Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. That is Lifeline, box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. One more time, Lifeline. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, 34958. Send your seed. I need your help. I love you. This is Landon signing off for Lifeline Ministry.
Brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Lifeline, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is trylifeline@gmail.com. Thank you for listening and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.